This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 61. We will talk about the news from AWS and Google. Recorded live December 9th, 2014.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Call.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Hey, good morning, AC. How are things?
I'm doing better. How about yourself?
Very well, thank you. Getting there. It's been a good run up to Christmas, and still got a little way to go. How about you? How are things?
Things are they're getting better. I had shoulder surgery last week, last Tuesday, where I lucked out. Honestly, I went to go for we talked about it before on a previous episode, but I had been having some problems with my shoulder for a couple of years, and finally went to go get it looked at. After trying so many things, they're like, MRI is the next thing. First doctor looked at it, said you have a torn rotator cuff, torn labrum, and degenerate AC joint, which I know there's a funny pun there probably, but...
We just used to a degenerate AC.
But yeah, so AC joints in your shoulder is where your collarbone or your clavicle connects to another bone called, and I think it's pronounced acromion, but it's basically a bone that comes off your shoulder blade and around the top of your shoulder, and there's a little gap. It's kind of like if you look at, for people who are a little, I guess, skinnier or thinner, it's where that little bump is in your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a tremendous recovery, though. If you get your AC, your clavicle and your rotator cuff and labrum repaired. My gut just didn't feel right about it, so I went and saw a second opinion. It actually is the team doctor for the NFL team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's an old high school classmate of mine. He looked at it, and he's like, I don't see any problem with the soft tissue rotator cuff or labrum. He just saw problems with the AC joint. So last Tuesday, they went in, and they removed about a centimeter, or he removed a centimeter from my collarbone to open up the AC joint and then cleaned out all the bone spurs and stuff that were in there. And you could see that it looked nasty as anything. It looked like a science project with like a bunch of crystals and like stuff just growing all over the place that I can totally see why it didn't feel good. And there's a picture he took beforehand where he had this little cone that he kind of stuck in my AC joint and it would barely go in. And then after he cleaned it out, everything was like super smooth. And he's like, and you could see it slide right in. But the cool thing was the pictures of my rotator cuff and labrum. He's like, you've got a rotator cuff that's in pristine condition, like a teenager, and like the blood vessels were all good. So I'm really surprised at my recovery because I've already been, last week sucked, but I'm about 6 days post-op now, and already in physical therapy within like 1 or 2 days. I'm able to move around my shoulder really easily. I'm able to move it around. It feels really sore and stuff, but I don't feel so much as an invalid and stuff anymore. So it's, you know, I know that there's people who are like amputees or don't have access to their, you know, to one of their arms or something due to any number of things from tragedy or whatever. And it is getting used to only using one arm or one hand. Man, that is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, try putting a sock on is crazy. I still have yet to be able to tie a shoe effectively. I tied one of my shoes yesterday. I tied both of them, and I swear my shoes kept popping off. But it is.
Yeah, you take that stuff for granted, right?
I mean, putting contacts in with one hand, and when you're normally right hand dominant, and I had it done on my right shoulder, it was trying to do put a contact in and take it out one handed with your left hand. I must have had five thumbs on my left hand. It was horrible.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm glad to hear the recovery is going well.
It's going good.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So how about you?
I'm finishing up the year, really. I'm going off on vacation tomorrow for a couple of weeks. Well, not really 2 weeks, 10 days to Mexico. So with the family and three other families. So with a whole bunch of kids and things. So it's basically some, you know, there's some people that like to go on vacation and go see things and do stuff. This is definitely not one of those. This is a go somewhere and do nothing.
You're going to a place where like the kids can be like, they have like little camps and stuff like that, right?
Yep. And just loads of activities for them to do and run around on the beach and swim and play in the pools and all that stuff. So it's very much a relaxation holiday as opposed to a go see things holiday.
Yeah, it's at least you get your vacation and the kids get their vacation.
Yeah, they love it at the same time. And there's going to be loads of, we've got three other families going down that are friends and with their kids. So it's going to be a good time for sure.
Cool. Very cool stuff.
So yeah, and then come back in time for my mother and stepfather arriving from New Zealand. So we've got some family in town for Christmas. So that'll be really nice. They're obviously coming to see their grandkids. So
yeah, you guys are just along for the ride. So basically you get baby.
Yeah, I just provide the transportation to and from the airport.
A little bit of food, a little bit of that. They want to sit there. Can we take the kids off for the day? You're like, sure.
Go for gold. Sure. Do your best. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's basically it. Then, yeah, a little break over Christmas, not too bad. And then back into it in Jan.
Yeah, very cool.
Hey, so today we've got a couple of things we're going to go through. We've got some news we want to wrap up. We've got a couple of other special topics we want to touch on first. And then we've also got a new review in iTunes that we'll get to right after our special topic, huh?
No, that sounds good, yeah.
So there may have been I don't want this to sound too cheesy, but there may have been a rather giant leap for at least US humans this past week, which if anybody's been listening to the show for more than 30 seconds, will realize that AC and I love geeking out on space stuff. And although this is not strictly cloud related, it's probably worth, just nerding out for a second on, which is the successful first orbital test flight of Orion, which is the new crew capsule from NASA. And so it launched in the very early hours for Pacific time, at least.
I was awake. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I wasn't awake. And did a couple of orbits. And one of the orbits was the furthest we've gone in over 40 years. I think, in fact, it was 42 years was since Apollo 17. And this thing launched and went out in a very elliptical orbit. But its apoapsis was like 4,300, something like that, about 4,000 kilometers, right? Was it kilometers or miles?
That was kilometers I think it's 3,500 miles. It was 3,500 miles up, which is 15 times higher than ISS. ISS is, I think, 250 miles up, and so International Space Station.
Yep.
And Orion went much farther out. And it's, like you said, it's the farthest that we've sent a vehicle that is capable of holding people since we went to the moon. And they had a launch on first day that it was scrubbed due to some technical issues and some weather. The next one went at 7:04, I think, a.m. on, was it Tuesday? It was last Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, or I guess we're recording this on December the 9th. So I think it went up on December the 2nd. And it was December the 2nd. It was Tuesday, December the 2nd. Bit of a bummer for me because I can see that when there's a launch, I can see that once the rocket clears the tower and gets a little bit up, I can usually see it from my driveway, which is about 142 miles north of Cape Canaveral.
Mm.
And it's frustrating because this time of year is when in the morning we usually have a real low cloud cover or fog or something. So we couldn't see it. But, this I'm with you. So it's totally geeked out, totally like space kind of stuff and everything. But the thing about this to me, it was fascinating watching I can't wait to see some of the HD video that comes off the capsule, which they just got it back to land this morning in San Diego. And they're going to truck that thing 2,500 miles across over to Cape Canaveral. I think Lockheed is on the hook for a report 90 days starting from December the 3rd of all the data that they collected. So we'll see a ton. They're going to distribute all of it. So there's a bunch of super high res video that was taken from inside the capsule that they're going to start pulling off once they get it back to Kennedy. Some of the videos that we've seen so far of Earth, but from that far out with that quality of a camera, I don't think we haven't seen something like that
yet.
And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'm just gutted that we're going to have to wait so long before the next launch.
Yeah. So that I want to come to that one in just a minute. Some of the things about this, I think they were really slick that to me that really stood out. It's the first time that we actually put something up that was capable of holding humans that we'll potentially use to go to Mars and farther. But we are listening to seeing some of the media that came out of Orion and seeing how it was a very successful launch from all things that they could look at. A couple things went wrong, like the airbags on the top of the capsule, only two of them fully inflated, one of them never inflated, two of them partial.
Yeah.
When it did the splashdown. But I guess it's like, it's going back to like the Apollo days where you could see like the capsule coming in through the clouds and seeing it in the water and then seeing how these, you posted an awesome video on Facebook, a 10-minute video from start of launch all the way up. And seeing the separation and all that stuff, that was wicked cool. But there was a video that happened later in the day, which is the post-launch test, which is, I think, about 30 minutes long or so, which is an interview of one of the astronauts who had some very succinct but killer things to say. The program manager at Lockheed for Apollo. And then it was also by two NASA guys. And there was a bunch of questions by some space media guys. I thought that that press conference was absolutely fascinating. And the guy that the main NASA guy that talked about like budgeting and stuff, and here's what we have to do and how it's a whole thing to put across. It was, my jaw was on the ground watching it. My wife was so bored when I was watching this. And I know that you and me and a couple other guys on Facebook were all like, our wives are probably all just like rolling their eyes, but we were raving about it.
Oh yeah, totally.
But the thing to me that really stood out about this is that, you know, it's something that watching the look on, you said it too, and I'll let you talk about this a little bit, but watching the look on my kids' faces when they were watching the rocket go up, when they were watching the video of it afterwards, talking about how important this was and stuff, seeing their interest, and then seeing how someone, I saw somebody tweet, and I retweeted it, but the people that are going to actually be in Orion that are going to go to Mars are today, they're probably in preschool.
I don't know. It just seems to have really piqued the interest again in space and science, and there's kids that are looking at it and caring about it again. Because it's been quite a while, like for a lot of these young kids, it's been quite a while since the last shuttle launch or launched, right? STS-135. And so it's been a good few years. And so they haven't had something to focus on, right? And so I think this, a new big launch and successful mission, has kind of really spurred their interest. And then you couple that with, you know, things like the Week of Code and all that sort of stuff, or Hour of Code, I should say. And things are looking pretty good for science and technology at the moment from a kids' education point of view.
Yeah, I totally agree. That whole, you know, that Orion thing, that's just the last thing that I'll say about it. It's, you know, it's really going to be looking forward to the next two launches. The next one is this year. They put it up on a Delta IV Heavy rocket, which is actually taller than the space shuttle with the external fuel tank and everything.
Yeah.
But wait till you see the next two, man. The next one is the SLS, the Space Launch System, which is not the biggest one, but it's definitely a rocket that's bigger, I think, than Saturn V. So it'll be a huge rocket. But then the third one that they're going to do, which I think is going to be in 5 years, is when they're going to put humans in Orion and they're going to launch the really big SLS that's going to send humans orbiting the moon and come back.
Yeah.
That 40 some odd years.
It made me, like, in that press conference, the last thing I'll say on it that made me sort of sad was somebody asked, you know, if you had more money, could you do this faster? And they were very politically correct and polite about it. They were like, you know, we're really happy for the money we've got and all that sort of stuff. But you could just tell, like, the dude was just like, yeah, the reason it's taking, you know, multiple years between launches is because we have to wait for money.
Yeah. Yep, they're playing. There's a lot of stuff they got to figure out and stuff, but it's all the stuff about like when he started going through what it's involved, like going to Mars and things we figured out and things he can do. He's busting stuff off that I'm just like, I'm raising my hand in my living room, like, I got about 50 questions.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. I want to go see that at some point.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, so switching topics slightly, you want me to read through this review we've got?
Yeah. Go for it.
Let's go. So we got another 5-star review in iTunes, which is awesome. Love to get them. I have a sneaking suspicion this guy's a funny guy, so I'll read it out and then we can have a laugh. So it's by SDC_999. So I don't actually know who this is currently. Maybe SDC is their initials. I'm not sure if we know this person or not. Anyway.
It's my son's initials. That's why I get kind of peek my ears. Like,
oh, could be, yeah.
Somebody's messing with us.
He's very articulate. Says, a consistently up-to-date and informative podcast on Azure, Office 365, and many of the rapidly changing technologies coming out of Microsoft. The podcast is hosted by the polished, brilliant Australian, Chris Johnson, who selflessly shares his infinite years of wisdom working with Microsoft technologies and listeners. There is also a fellow named Andrew who pitches in here and there.
This person, we know this, we have to know this person. He's poking fun at us.
A great podcast to add to your playlist. I suspect we may know this person because the cheeky sod's calling me an Aussie, which is pretty hilarious. And then you pitching in from here and there, that's a little bit of an understatement too. So whoever you are, we're going to find you. And we're going to mock you mercilessly when we do find you. But thank you very much indeed for the 5-star review, and keep them coming.
Yeah, very cool, very cool.
Hey, so we've got some news today that we want to get through, right? We've had some things happen in the AWS world and in the Google world. So something a little different, non-Microsoft-y, non-SharePoint-y, non-Office 365-y type stuff that we've had over the last few episodes. So why don't you kick things off with some news out of AWS?
Yeah, sure. So on the Amazon side, AWS, and this is, we've been, the last few episodes, we've been stacked up with a bunch of things we wanted to cover. And so this is actually remiss. We've been sitting on this for a little while. In mid-November in Las Vegas, AWS did their big conference called reInvent. You can see some information about it if you go to aws.amazon.com/new/reInvent. And or just go to reinvent.awsevents.com. So the latter URL takes you to their website. And my opinion, this is how you put on a big conference website. This thing is freaking awesome what they've done, and at least a post-conference website. Super simple. First two links, keynote day one, keynote day two. Awesome. Now, here's something, and I really hope that we see this from the Build conference next year and from the Ignite conference next year. The next thing, it says, view session recordings and decks. There is a YouTube channel that has all of the sessions that were at the conference. That's really cool. You've got SlideShare where all the slides are, which to me is always boring. I hate slides from a conference. It's kind of hard to go back and get any kind of context, as we saw from the NG Conference Europe guys when they basically put all this like death and tombstoning for Angular and everyone took it the wrong way. Then they have a link though for a podcast where they stripped out all the video and just made MP3s of all the sessions. I really hope Microsoft does that for their big shows in 2015. And then finally, new launches. So the new launches one is pretty cool because you can see what all the main stuff that they really, new services and features that they announced. So let me run through some of these really quick. You guys can go check out the link. That was the first link I gave out, which is aws.amazon.com/new/reInvent. But each one of these, there is a link to a video, a blog post, a press release, and then some learn more about each one of these features they announced. So they announced a lot of things around security and compliance, something called Key Management Service, which is a managed service that makes it easy for you to create and control encryption keys used to encrypt your data.
What, you mean not just storing them in a folder called password?
Oh my gosh, how do you like that Sony hack?
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Last night, the PlayStation Network got hacked. Did you see that?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, so apparently when they renamed the password folder to capital P, password $1, that didn't
cut it.
No, that one, nobody figured that out.
Oh, God, that is just an unfathomable level of hack. Like, that is the Sony hack in general. I mean, those, I feel for them because although you see things come out like about the password folder, named password or whatever, passwords, and you're like, come on, are you serious?
Yeah.
I suspect there's a lot more to it, obviously, and just absolutely brutal. Anyway, sorry to interject.
No, but that one's pretty big, man. They found something like hundreds of files that were just where they took passwords and they had wrote them down in Word docs, text files, Excel spreadsheets, and PDFs, saved them in that folder, and that's where they kept passwords they need to keep track of. That, I mean, there are so many solutions that are out there, and I know so many companies end up doing it that way, but your Sony, the entire management of the IT side of the on Sony at the top should really just get completely walked out the door. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, but like, I think the whole password folder thing is complete ineptitude. I completely get that. But I suspect these hackers had root well before they found that.
Oh, I'm sure. But still, it's just, I mean, that kind of a thing. You got to send a message and just be like, unacceptable, kill it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so a couple of things that AWS announced. Something called Config, which is in preview. It's a fully managed service that provides you with AWS resource inventory, configuration history, configuration changes. Basically, it helps you discover your existing AWS resources and see change management on them. There's also a service catalog that they announced as well. for the devs that are out there, they also announced three big features for ALM-based tools. So there's something called Code Deploy, which is a service that automates code deployments to AWS EC2 instances just for like automated deployment and that kind of stuff. There's something called Code Commit, highly scalable managed source control service that provide private Git repositories. God, I can't even say this. So that you don't have to worry about doing your own Git infrastructure or having a public Git service like GitHub. And then there's something called Code Pipeline, which is continuous delivery and release automation service that aids in smooth deployments. There's a bunch of other things too that you can go look at. There's an EC2 container service. There's a something called RDS for Aora, which is a MySQL compatible relational database engine. They also had this new thing, a new approach to building high scale responsive apps called Lambda. This is pretty cool. This is a compute service that runs your code in response to events that automatically manages the compute resources for you, making it easy for you to build apps that respond quickly to new information. So basically it looks like an auto scale kind of a thing.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool. I know Azure's got some similar stuff there. And then another thing that they did, talking about continuing to innovate on their core services, they now have new C4 instances for their EC2 offering. I find that to be really interesting because I can't wait to see what happens when a C4 EC2 instance blows up. I mean, because when it's bad, it's like, oh, we have these other things and they're called detonators.
Yeah. And if you put a C4 instance and a detonator too close together.
Gets big
bada boom.
You think that Azure went down for 11 hours. Watch what happens when you get a couple C4s right next to all your other instances. It takes out a whole epic ton of cloud shit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
yeah, and Amazon EBS as well, talking about increasing the performance size of their general purpose SSDs and their special provisioned IOPS SSDs. So that you can create volumes of up to 16 terabytes and 10,000 IOPS for their general purpose or 20,000 IOPS for their provisioned IOPS stuff.
Wow.
That's pretty freaking cool.
That's a ton of news.
Ton of news, ton of new features and stuff. But their website does a really good job of showing all of the new stuff that they've come up with. So again, that's just reinvent.awsevents.com. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to go along to that show sometime. Like, it looks like a fun conference.
I was really tempted to go this year. Yeah, I agree with you. It looks really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so we also have some news out of the big G-O-O-G. Google. Yeah.
And what did they do?
So we don't often, I guess we haven't to date covered a ton of news out of Google. We have sort of snippets every now and again, but it's probably worth going over this one, especially because it does touch on the Microsoft cloud world fairly significantly. So this one, they came out with some news, I think it was yesterday, maybe. Yeah, it was yesterday. It was, we're recording this on a Tuesday and it was on a Monday that it came out. Google are expanding support for Windows in the Google Cloud Platform.
Ah.
So you'll be able to do all your Minesweeper in Google Cloud instead of in Azure. No, I kid. So it was really three bits of news that they announced on their blog, and we'll have a link up to that in the show notes for everybody to read this in full. But in general, there were three bits of news. The first was license mobility, so Microsoft license mobility. So now, if you're a SQL Server customer or a SharePoint customer or Exchange on-prem, then you've got license portability or mobility, I should say, to be able to move your machines up into the Google Cloud Platform, into virtual machines and so forth, and you don't have to re-license everything and deal with all of that malarkey, that there's portability for those. So you don't have to rebuy stuff or deal with any of those shenanigans.
Mm.
So that just makes it a little bit of a, you know, one less hurdle to jump through, one less hoop to jump through, so to speak. The second one, which is kind of interesting, is support for Windows Server 2008 R2.
Yeah.
The 2012 support is apparently planned soon or is coming soon, but right now it's limited to Windows Server 2008 R2. So you can go spin up a virtual machine and get that sucker running. and run it in the Google's cloud platform.
No, that's pretty cool.
And the third thing, which is kind of like, it's not a huge feature, but it's kind of, it makes it a bunch easier connecting to your machines, is the Chrome RDP app. So if you're a Chrome user, you can just like click on a little button in the in your dashboard up in Google's cloud platform dashboard or whatever they call it, and RDP straight into your machines. So it makes it super easy to remote desktop into your stuff that you've got running.
That's really cool. That is very, very cool. I didn't realize that they had done that.
Yeah, it just makes it a bunch easier, right? Because it's a little bit tricky. Like say in Azure right now, you can set up RDP into your machines pretty easily, but you end up downloading this little RDP file and opening it and it runs and then you got to connect and it's just a couple more clicks.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
This is just, yeah, jump straight into your machines from your browser.
That would be nice. I mean, I know when if you want to do that from Azure VMs, you have to download a little RDP like file.
Connection file.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you double click on it, then it'll launch. Depending on the platform you're on, provided you have an RDP app, then it'll launch that app and you can start using it from there. But
yeah, so this is an app that's delivered through Chrome, right? So you still install a Chrome app from the store, I imagine. But once you've got that installed, you can, you know, click the button and go straight to your machine.
That's pretty cool.
Not bad. So yeah, in summary, license mobility, so you don't have to worry about, you know, rebuying your stuff for the cloud. Windows Server 2008 R2 support and 2012 and 2012 R2 support coming soon, apparently. And this Chrome RDP app. So it's kind of interesting seeing them, seeing them continue to invest in their Windows offerings and things. I think they're getting that. They're understanding that if they want to be able to compete with Amazon and with Microsoft, with Azure, that the enterprise and business scenarios are obviously really important, not just the startup scenarios.
Yeah.
Enterprises have a lot of money to spend on this stuff, and it's really important. And so they're having to continue these investments to sort of to at least be able to begin to play ball in that market.
Yeah. You don't want to see such a specialized cloud where things are just for that one vendor's technology. It's nice to have the option. So, I mean, I'm still partial to Azure from the developer story and just from the management tools and everything that we have, but absolutely love the fact that there's people out there like Amazon. Love the fact that someone big comes to the fray like Google to push Amazon and Azure to do additional things, to continue to innovate, to continue to make things better. That's cool stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Microsoft historically does its best work when it's in a competition. So be interesting to see how, you know, AWS and Azure respond as Google starts doing new and unique things.
Yeah.
Not that this is new and unique, but, you know, they'll do new and unique things going forward, I suspect. So be interesting to watch. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. One little thing here that we did talk about that we said we're going to mention, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, something that we can mention as we go out the show, but I know by the time this episode goes live, it'll be a couple weeks past the week, but this week, the week of December the 8th, is the National Hour of Code.
Yes.
Or I guess it's a worldwide movement. It's pretty slick seeing this stuff. You saw a video yesterday of the U.S. President Barack Obama sitting down with someone and writing his first line of code. I know it was probably a pretty, it obviously is a very staged thing, but
yeah,
I thought it was pretty freaking epic.
Yeah, that is symbolic, right? And it might urge some youngsters to care and to take a look at it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you had, you know, look at what's the stereotype of a typical coder? It's people like you and me. It's white guys.
Yep, white old guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got the gray hair too. It was cool though because there was a. I never know what the right way to say it is. Is it African American or is it black? But regardless, you saw a teenager black girl teaching the United States black president how to code. He wrote his first line of code there. And I know that you can talk about stereotypes all you want, but that totally knocks down the traditional one of white guy coder.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. The free resources that are out there, you go to code.org. A good friend of ours, Agnes Molnar, she had there's resources that are on code.org that are tailored for teaching kids how to program, how to code, where the kids don't know how to write yet or read yet. Sorry, the kids don't know how to read yet.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, the earlier you can get kids thinking about this stuff, the better, right? Because I posted on Facebook, I think yesterday it was, and got a whole bunch of comments about this. And my point was, you know, like we should teach our kids to code without them even realizing they're coding, right? Because it starts developing their brains and starts them thinking in ways that you just don't get, you know, being analytical and logical and thinking through complex problems and in different ways. And the earlier you can start doing it, the more nimble your mind is to thinking like this. And, you know, I fell into coding. It was literally a complete accident. And I'm so lucky I did. But I can't imagine a life without code now. But it's something that not every kid may enjoy, but at least giving them the opportunity to learn that will stretch their mind in different ways and open them up to the possibilities, which I think is super important. One of my biggest regrets in, not in life, that's maybe in life is too harsh, but one of my biggest regrets is not learning another a foreign language when I was a kid, because I am a complete dunce when it comes to this now.
Yeah.
And I know loads of other languages. They're just not spoken ones, right? They're written ones like C# and JavaScript and C++ and C and HTML and CSS and all of that, right? They're all languages, but none of them are spoken. And I really struggle with learning foreign languages to speak.
Yeah.
Not so bad with reading them, but better at reading them than speaking them for sure. But I wish I could speak another language. I really do. And I suspect that if I'd learnt when I was 6 or 7, I'd be away laughing.
I'm kind of there with you. I mean, in high school, I took 3 years of Latin, which is, it does help in terms of parsing some languages that you see, that you come across and stuff. But I'd love to be able to read and be more conversational in a foreign language. But yeah, the thing with me, I had a similar experience where I literally just kind of fell into the whole development and coding thing. And it was, for me, it was opening up my eyes to where you can take a computer and you can actually tell it what to do. And I don't mean like, you know, the kind of stuff that you get from prepackaged software and stuff, but it's the being able to control it and do something and just say, can you do this? Like going, absolutely, I can totally do it. And sitting down and watching my son take one of the, there's Pluralsight has a bunch of free videos that are out there, free courses for this whole movement. And sitting down and watching him really quick, of course, you know, you tailor it to something that's going to grab the kids' attention. So what is it? It's how do I do a point and click, build a game, programming that I can play on my laptop or on my Xbox. And he's sitting there watching it and was fascinated. He's like, so is this the kind of stuff that you do? And he's like, so I can make it do what I want it to do. He's like, yeah. And he goes, well, how does this go get harder? And it's like, well, because they've given you a bunch of building blocks. And when you realize that you need to do more than what the building blocks are, that's when you get into more advanced languages and the stuff that your dad does. And it just seeing how it makes your brain, I know how it made my brain work and how it changed the way I thought about things and the problem stuff. And the word impossible doesn't really exist. And that's why I love the space program so much, because the word impossible doesn't exist in that case. And it did at a time, but you figure stuff out. I love this movement. I think this is such a cool movement, this whole Hour of Code thing. And I'm really cool to see the reaction that it's getting on social media and stuff this week.
Yeah. And also the ways of teaching, right, as well. Interesting ways of teaching kids. So the one that I mentioned at the breakfast table this morning with my daughter was, do you know that you can learn to code with Anna and Elsa from Frozen? And she almost, like, pardon my French, but she basically lost her shit and fell on the floor. Like, I mean, hey, use all the tools at your disposal. Whereas in my day, listen to me, I'll just get out my rocking chair and cane here for a second. But in my day, like, we had to sit through, you know, basically whacked with a ruler in class, like repeating bam, bas, bat, barmus, batus, ban, in Latin, right? And talking about Caecilius and all this. And it was just mind-numbingly boring.
Oh, yeah. You had to really be interested in that stuff to get interested in. And I'm right there with you. Seeing, freaking brilliant, right? You can sit there and get Elsa to do something now. You go to code.org, and the big thing about how do I go through and build something is coding with Elsa. I looked at that. The first thing I said was, these guys are freaking brilliant.
Yep.
Right? Take advantage. And it's not like 3 years later. Take advantage of the biggest kid movie that happened this year. And take it and pivot it to this thing.
Leverage it. Yeah, totally. If they could get that and Minecraft together, it'd be like, mind-blowing.
Seeing some of the comments from some Sacha about how Minecraft is an educational tool for creation. Hey, man, let's see what you can do with it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Awesome. Well, I think that's all we've got for today's show. We're covered some AWS news, some Google news. We banged on about Orion for a little while. So sorry for those who are completely non-interested in space news. But hey, it's once a week AC and I need to get these things out and vent every once in a while. So I appreciate you bearing with us.
Oh, absolutely.
On some of this stuff. But
hey, watching space stuff on pain pills is really interesting.
Nice. I might have to try that sometime.
Yeah. Surgery was the afternoon of the launch, but hey, yeah, it was cool. And I know this episode is going to be coming out the week of Christmas, so for everybody who celebrates Christmas, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes, indeed. And we'll be, thanks for sticking with us all through this year. We'll have some interesting episodes coming up. I think our next one, right after this, we're going to talk about our predictions for this, or we're going to review our predictions for the last year. So if you want to re-listen to that episode, go back in the archives up on MicrosoftCloudShow.com and, episode 11 is the show to go listen to for that. And listen to AC and I bang on about our predictions for this year and see which ones have come right. And we'll do the same thing for next year as well. So be sure to tune in for that. That will probably be episode 62, I think, which is the next one after this. So yeah, it would have been a great year of episodes, and look forward to hearing your predictions too for next time.
Yeah, me too. Looking forward to seeing you actually show up with your $50 that you owe me from losing your bet.
Oh yeah, about that. Hey, let's wrap this up.
All right, man. Have a good vacation.
You too.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at MicrosoftCloudShow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.